Let's Talk America with Dr. Alan Keyes.
Welcome to Let's Talk America. I'm Alan Keyes, and I always want to give a shout out whenever I start the show to Brighteon Television, because through some hard work and dedication, I think it has built up a platform that has made it safe for people of conscience who are also people who are very much involved in the effort to mobilize America. I think that they have done wonderful work. And I always like to remember them as I start my program and thank God for the work that has thus far transpired to provide this platform. It's a wonderful thing. And Mike Adams and the folks at Brighteon, I think, deserve our gratitude for this. And I certainly feel it every day. Today, I have a special privilege too, though, because I have a guest who I think exemplifies something that I believe is going to be the deep critical factor in whether or not we succeed in preserving this country, in spite of the fact that at the moment, it seems to be slipping away. And you have to ask yourself, why is that happening? And I think it's really very simple. A polity that exists based on the notion that the whole people can come together and govern themselves, govern not by virtue of the king and the conqueror and all of these people, not by virtue either of wealth and mere power, but by virtue of their dedication to do right according to God, the dedication that the country was actually founded on. That's the ground that America was planted in, because the Declaration of Independence clearly evokes the laws of nature and of nature's God. So it is the Creator that we worship. And that Creator, of course, encompasses in his majesty and power all human beings in the very fabric of our existence. And this was the premise of America's liberty and of the notion that a government scoffed at throughout the history of the world, pretty much by the folks who were regarded as wise heads and so forth and so on, could be established with the power, the kingly sovereign power, being exercised by the people themselves. This has not only happened in America, it has happened to produce a nation of extraordinary success that became the leading nation for a time in the world, though right now, I think what we're going through is a challenge to that. And my guest today is somebody who has been in the midst of the fighting to make sure that we live up to that challenge. And I think it's terribly important. My guest is Danica Hudson, and she's somebody who has, I think, been articulating the connection that unfortunately a lot of people who are good and sincere Christians in terms of their personal life and their faith and their walk, but a lot of people shy away from thinking of the connection between their citizenship and their faith. And why do I emphasize it? Come on, y'all. The country was founded. It wasn't founded on the premise of power and on the premise of even liberty that people like to talk about as if it's just about the freedom to do what you want. No. It was founded on the explicit acknowledgement of the laws of nature and of nature's God and of the provisions God has made so that we can understand what it is right to do according to his will. That was the dedication of the founding generation. And I have to tell you, if you look at the history of the country, for all we had good and bad people in the course of American history, obviously, and sometimes it went one way and sometimes another and so forth and so on. But the bedrock ground on which we stood was the dedication of folks who acknowledge God and Jesus Christ, for Christ is the Word made flesh. That means that he is directly involved in that work of creation and then comes to salvage it from what was a human depredation that was destroying God's will and goodwill toward man. It's really remarkable. And I think a lot of people grasp that in their hearts, but are shy now because of this phony doctrine of the separation of church and state. And I say it's phony, not because we want the government to try to take over religion, but because it was quite clear from the beginning that the precepts of God and God's will and word had to govern the American psyche. And I think a lot of people, because they knew that, were able to steer this country full of people who were no better than they ought to be down a path that ultimately led to the kind of greatness few nations have ever attained to, and that no nation ever attained to, and then essentially gave the world back to itself, so that instead of trying to conquer and control, we continue to try to elevate and educate the people of the world to the true vocation God intends. Am I exaggerating, Donica? Because I think America is a grand experiment, as people often say, but it's not just an experiment in self-government. It's an experiment in government that acknowledges the power, the majesty, the will, the prerogatives, and the ordinances of Almighty God. And I think that more than 90% explains why we were able to achieve the success we did achieve until recently. And we can talk about that. Am I making sense?
100%. In fact, in my book, I talk about the fact that we are dual citizens. The Bible calls us dual citizens of earth and then of the nation here on earth that we are citizens with. And so when we look at our founding fathers, you know, we've been told as of late in the last, 50 years that we're not a Christian nation. But the evidence shows that it's contrary to that. Our founding fathers, who you'll see my backdrop here says First Landing 1607, when the colonists first landed in America at Cape Henry, Virginia Beach, they planted a cross in the sand. They knelt, they took communion, and they dedicated themselves and this continent we know as America to God. Then they prayed that generations to come would see the cross, would look at it, and would join them in this covenant. The covenant was that America would be evangelist to the world and that we would evangelize our children for generations to come within these shores, the Pacific and the Atlantic Ocean. And you can't get more plain than that. And you know, to back you up, Alan, every document that we have, every founding document is based in covenantal theology, calling upon God as an interposer to bless the covenant, the covenants made among men. So you are spot on.
That is so critically important, and it's exactly why it is now being targeted. If you look at what is going on in what is essentially now open warfare against the very existence of our American way of life as grounded in those declaration premises that acknowledge that our opportunity and our success, all of it flows from that acknowledgement that the walk we're supposed to walk is a walk governed by God's understanding of what is right and just, not the understanding of our ambition and our power and our lust and all of these things that are now crowding it out. What explains the fact that though I think we still have a more than significant portion of Christian believers in this country, many of them, I think, devout believers in Jesus Christ, but there's been, in the course of the latter part of my lifetime, about 30, 35 years, I think there's been an increasing timidity that didn't exist before. You go back even to the 1950s, and the people who had corporations and sold products and so forth and so on, what was one of the things they always had to worry about? Not offending the people who acknowledged God, therefore thought of right and wrong in God's terms. And so that when they were doing television shows and all of this, there were lines they couldn't cross, and they knew it, because they were going to lose substantially the respect of the populace. Why have Christians in the course of, I think, the last 30 years or so, become more and more timid about what should still be an acknowledgement that they boldly and courageously proclaim that America's greatness, quote, 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 unquote, is not greatness according to our will, power, success, and advantage. It's greatness according to our willingness to accept the precepts of God and live by them.
Well, you mentioned it at the very beginning. First of all, we bought the lie of separation of church and state, which is nowhere in our Constitution.
That's right.
It was a letter to the Danbury Baptist, and I'm sure you've gone over that in your broadcast before. But the point is, it was even mentioned to keep the government out of the church, not vice versa. So we, the people who are the church, need to, as you well know and have done, run for office. We need to not subscribe to that separation and think of church as just the four walls of a building. You know, we are part of the ecclesia, the body of Christ, regardless of denomination. And that's a global thing. You know, the body of Jesus, those of us who are in blood covenant with Jesus Christ, that is a global body. Now, related to the United States here, first, we bought that lie of separation of church and state. And I've even heard attorneys, and I'm the daughter of an attorney. He was a judge advocate general in the Air Force. And, you know, most of the attorneys I know think that it is law. I've even seen rulings quote that. And I think, what are you standing on here? It's just a big fat lie. And so then we had the Johnson Amendment that effectively muzzled the pastors because of fear of losing their nonprofit 501c3 statuses. And that, even though that has been remedied somewhat, pastors still are of that mindset, and the fear that you talked about has been introduced that, oh, I'm going to cross over into something that's political, and I shouldn't do that. I'm going to affect my income here. I'm going to lose members, or I'm going to get sued. And the pastors in America do not understand the law. They don't understand, in general, the freedoms that we do have, and they've been so conditioned over the last, you know, 4 or 5 decades to not speak up that we have become impotent, ineffective, and not even taking any type of authority or jurisdictional authority as the church should in the political arena. You know, I believe that the pulpits determine the temperature of the nation. And we have so much timidity, as you just mentioned, because of the conditioning that goes way back. Now, there's a third thing. Go ahead.
I was just going to wonder for a minute, do you think, because I'm thinking about what was the role of Christian folks throughout American history until you get, I think, to the latter part of the 20th century. And I think it reflected the fact that when you think about what you have just been alluding to, the challenge is to remember that as citizens of the United States, we are the words that are there in the Declaration of Independence, for example, and in terms of Jefferson's understanding. He was saying what he said to make sure that it would not be misunderstood as the government being able to usurp the role of the church.
Amen.
The assumption was that Christian people were going to act in politics according to the will and premises of God, and that they understood that the very premise of the country's existence gave them not only license, but an obligation to defend right according to God, right?
Not according to our will. That needs to be trumpeted from the rooftops. That needs to be told over and over again.
And I'm kind of wondering how and why do you think? Did we arrive at this point where Christians who were actually entrusted with the lead role in making sure first that government would not try to suppress the churches, right? That was Jefferson's concern in point of fact, if you go back and read what he was thinking.
Yeah.
And so separation of church and state was to make sure that the government wouldn't think it could come in and dictate to the conscience of the church.
Yes.
But the reverse of that was that the church had a responsibility to defend the premises of our existence as a nation, which were godly premises, premises that look to God, not to our own victories, not to our own will, not to our own success. And that I think part of our timidity now is that we know that. Believers know we can't really succeed without God, and yet we have grown lukewarm in asserting these truths.
That's true. And there's some other factors. You know, the enemy, the old foe that we know from the Bible, has been actively at work through institutions like communism and Marxism. You know, Marx was a pagan Satanist. Okay. Mm. So we are in a spiritual battle that involves the government of men. And the enemy, as long as we realize that the Bible is our guiding plumb line, and we understand this, there's always going to be a battle to rule the world. And that is the Antichrist spirit. And so in looking back, when I did the second edition of my book, Alan, I realized I had exposed in the first edition socialism, Marxism, Saul Alinsky, communism. And Saul Alinsky wrote, for those of you who've never read his book, and I wouldn't really want to read it because he dedicated it to Lucifer. He wrote Rules for Radicals, which is really the playbook we see being carried out to destroy our society. And he had a couple of proteges, and that was Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. And they openly state this. I have it all fully footnoted. And so, you know, that when you read those rules, that you can see why the demise of society has begun and why fear has been introduced. Then you couple that with the 1963 reading of the Communist Goals by Cleon Skousen in our own Congress. And you see that almost all of those communist goals that were read then in 1963 have been achieved. And we understand it's been a slow boil for our nation where we have lost our governing of the people, by the people, for the people. And there is another factor I'd like to point out. It is the 1978 Ethics in Government Act. Mm. Now, you and I and all of your viewers, we love America. We love our Constitution. We don't want to lose it. But the 1978 Ethics in Government Act effectively circumvented the three-branch ruling process that we have in America by turning it into legal battles. It's why we see all these three-letter agencies today that seem to just roughshod over everything that we, the people, really want. And it becomes a legal battle, and it's tied up for years and years, and we end up, you know, with 35 plus million in a Mueller investigation. Mm-hmm. So I would love for someone to hear this who is in office and take that and bird dog it and let's get rid of that 1978 Ethics in Government Act. That could be one way to chisel at getting the power back to the people. But that has really affected how much we can rule and govern in our own nation. And sometimes, Alan, it seems overwhelming because what's being implemented is crossways with God's will and the majority of the people's will. And it makes us begin to feel like that there aren't that many Christians left in America. And that's not the truth. We are a majority and we are a Christian nation and our founding documents reflect it. And in my book, I have many prayers to reflect that, you know, how God even, our Constitution is focused on God as King, rule giver, and judge out of Isaiah. And so when we realize these things, we can push back against the lies and start to embrace and stand up and love our country. You know, part of the communist goals is to get Americans to hate our founding fathers, to hate our nation, to cause more division, to make us want to move into communism, want for the government to become God like socialism and lose the God who created us as our real sovereign God.
Well, see, I think that one of the things that we have kind of forgotten because we have been neglecting the primacy of God's authority in the founding of the United States. See, I think that forgetfulness has led us in many ways to become a people who no longer understands its vocation.
Yes.
And in not understanding our vocation, we're tolerating things that are just execrable. They're things that are so bad that by now I think it is starting to awaken the yes. conscience of people in a very direct way. And I think one of the most important things, and this is what all this leads up to, uh-huh. is they have finally been open about what I think is the most egregious, deep violation of our humanity that we have yet witnessed in the history of our country. And I say it bluntly now because it has to be stated bluntly. We seem now to have a party, the Democrat Party, that is willing to abuse our children in the definite desire to establish a primacy of power amongst an elitist government that then puts us all at the mercy of that government and pays no attention whatsoever to the fact that we must walk a walk that corresponds to God. And they have even gone so far now as to test whether or not they can start directly assaulting the notion that Christian conscience has to be respected. Despite all the talk of freedom of religion and free exercise of religion, they're now trying to act as if you're making your arguments in terms of what is right according to God, you're somehow doing something that's against our laws and so forth and so on because of the separation of church and state lie. And that is a lie, because without that authority of God and without our acknowledgement of that authority, we lose our claim to govern ourselves, and we will then be governed by power, whether it is in the form of conquest, in the form of wealth, in the form of seduction. It will only be a matter of who has the power to degrade us. And that's what they're doing right now.
Oh, absolutely. That is what we're facing. And, you know, a lot of people watching may feel like they're powerless, but, you know, I'm a mom. And when I live in North Carolina, and when my children were threatened, there was an infamous bathroom bill in North Carolina called HB2. My husband and I joined with Alliance Defending Freedom, and we sued the federal government, the Department of Justice, and the Department of Education for not protecting our children in bathrooms, locker rooms, and showers. My daughter was going to be forced to shower with a biological male in share locker rooms. I mean, we see this as rampant now. We've got the trans movement, and we have, you know, swimmers. I think Sarah Gaines is, if that's her name, is speaking out. This is just unjust. And we know that it's unfair. But unfortunately, you know, the media has so brainwashed people and put fear upon them and perpetrated political correctness that we, the people, have been almost afraid to say anything, except for those of us who really know our God. And I would encourage all your viewers to know the word of God, to know, when you know he's on your side and that every document of our foundation is rooted in covenantal theology, you can stand up and fight like my husband and I did. And we did win, and we did push that back. So I would just encourage everyone.
We're down to the wire on this segment, but when we get back, I think in pursuance of what you just said, I think it'll be important to get people to focus on what is in effect the Christian challenge that's involved in saving America, because I don't think anyone who does not have a Christian conscience is actually going to be able to do it. But all of us who do should realize that the power of God is then made manifest if we pursue it in the right way. We'll be right back after this.
I feel that Juvench is helping me to get better every day in every way.
That impact is what has been shown to help improve your bone density. Without that impact, you're missing a very important nutrient in your physical conditioning program.
The Juvent Micro Impact System allows the person to create more joint range of motion. Now I know there's a chance that nourishment can take place to that joint.
Wait, hang on, I got to get one of these.
The Kelly Key easily converts your AR rifle to bolt action, allowing you to keep the rifle you love in assault weapon jurisdictions. The Kelly Key is a true fast drop-in solution. No permanent changes to your rifle. Import, transport, own, and have fun with your AR. Why the Kelly Key? Because a bolt action is not an assault weapon. Stay future ready from gun bans with the Kelly Key. The Kelly Key also lets you quickly and easily build your ideal hunting rifle, lets you build the quietest suppressed rifle, and benefits your long-range precision shooting. Available now at KellyKey.com with free shipping.
Your own government has the power to activate a kill switch on all telecommunications, instantly shutting down all private phone calls and texts. An EMP weapon or solar flare can achieve the same result. Rolling blackouts or permanent power outages will also take out the power supply to cell tower antennas, rendering mobile devices all but useless. During these emergencies, how do you stay in touch with the important people in your life anywhere on the planet? The answer is the Bivy Stick at SAT123.com. The Bivy Stick is a two-way satellite text messaging device that uses a satellite constellation, not cell towers, to send and receive text messages. It works anywhere on planet Earth, including in war zones or blackout areas. In unpredictable times, the Bivy Stick helps you stay connected when it matters most. Visit SAT123.com to get one while they're still available.
Hey, this is Pastor Todd Coconato, and I'm just going to tell you, Brighton TV is the place it's at. I was just walking around the Weird Wake America tour, and all these people are talking about how they've seen us on Brighton, because that's where patriots need to go. Free speech platform, support it. Our ministry is called Todd Coconato Ministries. You can go to PastorTodd.org, but make sure whatever you do, Brighton is the free speech network. We love it, support it, stand with Brighton, and thank you for having me on Brighton. Welcome back. I'm Alan Keyes. This is Let's Talk America. I'm today talking to Danica Hudson. You're one of those people, Danica, that I feel totally free to explore what I think is the core challenge.
Brighty on Radio and BrightyOnRadio.com.
This is an amazing company that has sponsored both of us. And this is a way to have backup communications when the grid goes down.
Well, the situation became problematic, Mike, with the New Orleans, the latest hurricane, because people panic. And this is one thing that I've learned from being associated with the satellite phone store for over a decade. People will call and order 600 phones at a time.
What?
It's like this, Mike. Anytime there is a crisis, people want these. And ladies and gentlemen, they've created such a good deal for Mike's viewers, my viewers, our combined viewers, that this is the only way you're going to be able to communicate.
And that's the other beauty about these phones, is they can't track you because it's not talking to a cell tower. It's talking to satellites, you know, orbiting over the equator. So SAT123.com, folks.
The U.S. prepares to bolster troops in Eastern Europe, and tensions build with Russia.
Secretary Austin has placed a range of units in the United States on a heightened preparedness to deploy, which increases our readiness to provide forces if NATO should activate the NRF, or if other situations develop.
We have been consulting with allies in deployments and refining plans for all scenarios. We've always said we would reinforce our allies on the eastern flank.
Stay up to date on Brighteon Radio.
Treasure Island coins and precious metals. Mike Adams of naturalnews.com says 2020 has shown us that we must prepare for the unexpected. Gold and silver will be indispensable to your fiscal well-being during the coming financial pandemic. Shipments are delivered safely, discreetly, and securely right to your door. A precious metals IRA allows you to protect your retirement savings with the ultimate safe haven, assets of gold and silver. Gold and silver will be indispensable to your financial well-being. Your metals are held in the form of real coins and bars in an actual depository under your name and on your behalf. Simply visit BrighteonMetals.com today. Gold and silver will be indispensable to your financial well-being. Shouldn't you at least look into it? Treasure Island coins and precious metals. We're here to help. Visit BrighteonMetals.com today.
Take a stand against biased talk radio.
I'm going to take a strong stand against it.
And listen to Brighty on Radio, where we give you both sides of the story.
Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. BrightyOnStore.com.
Brighty on Radio and BrightyOnRadio.com.
Please. For the men and women of the city to stop the violence, to have the courage that you're talking about, to stand and walk with God and do what the word of God says. And so we have the authority of the king of the state, so to speak, the governor, and the authority of the church. And we agreed and we prayed through that proclamation, and there was no more bloodshed. Mm-hmm. Now, that is what the enemy is afraid of. That's the type of authority that will make him run. And that's why there has been such a major assault against the church and state to keep them separated.
What do you think is going to be the effect of what I think is now the boldest and most egregious aspect of the attack that I can think of, which because they've moved from a field that was exploiting certain weaknesses that are consonant with human nature, including what has become the sort of paramount disregard for God's goodwill as it is involved in procreation, right? Treating procreation as if it is all for our pleasure and satisfaction, and not really dedicated to God's purpose of goodwill toward humanity, so that according to his will, humanity will be strengthened and prosper and continue to thrive over the course of generation after generation, because people accept the responsibility that is then ornamented with pleasure, so that God will make it clear, do my will and things will go well and you'll feel all good about yourself. But we're trying to act as if the good feelings can be the main focus when God's will has been left out. And I think that's one of the things that seems to be fostering a certain kind of timidity. How do we overcome that? Do you think that this business where they're now, I think, trying to act as if they have the right to intervene in the parents' responsibility and in schools and universities degrade the Christian consciences of Christian children so that they turn away from what is not just the bedrock promise of premise of our country, but it's also been the source of good conscience and the breakthroughs of conscience pretty much throughout America's history. Do you think Christians realize that if we don't deal with this problem, it's not an accident that our children are being forfeited, that we are compromising what ought to be one of the most precious responsibilities we have as individuals?
I think Christians are waking up to that. And that's one reason that I feel like that I was moved upon by God to write this book as a clarion call to wake up for the body of Christ.
Now, well, I don't want to interrupt your thought, but could you tell people exactly the title of the book and where to get it?
Yes, it's called Pray America Great, and you can go to DonicaHudson.com or any major retail outlet, Amazon, it's on there. But to answer your question, Alan, we as the body of Christ don't realize our authority. And if we did, we wouldn't be so timid. If we had our eyes open to see the power of our prayers, when we pray according to God's word, when we understand our divine rights and how our country is founded upon our biblical values, that God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob blessed this nation. So when it's solidified in us, then we can fight. We can stand. And, you know, there's so many faith building seminars, but I've never seen an authority building seminar. And when you look to the word of God, the centurion came to Jesus and he said, you know, heal my servant. And he said, I'm a man under authority. I understand authority. Just say the word and I know we'll be healed. And Jesus, what did Jesus say? He said, I've not seen such great faith. So there, he said, in all of the land, I've not seen such great faith. So Jesus effectively equated authority and faith. So if we understand, it's written in the Bible that God died. He sent his son to die for us and for his righteousness to exist. But it's only going to exist to the extent that we enforce it. That's why our government is the most unique in the planet, as you've aptly talked about in the beginning, and we must fight for it. So when we have the word of God deep inside of us, and I would encourage everyone to read their Bibles, that helps us stand firm. And then when we pray and we stand up, we know God's for us. Who could be against us? So when I go to school board meetings and I push back with the other mama bears for the mask mandate to be overturned, which it was, I knew God was on my side. I knew he did not want my child to continue suffering. The pandemic was basically over and the children were getting sick, you know? And so I when you know and it's solidified in your heart, you're right as a Christian and as an American, you can stand and fight like no one else.
Mm. But I think one of the things that they have been so slyly doing, and which is made manifest in some of the key issues, one of what I think is perhaps the heart issue that so challenges us now, that it is killing our understanding of the significance of this attack on the young.
Yes.
And that has been abortion.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think it's part of why they pushed it, because it is one of those questions. And I know people still talk about it as if this is a matter of choice that we get to decide about. The simple fact of the matter is that if we don't respect the notion that not just taking up the rear of our precious rights, and by the way, I have to always remind people, when I say the word rights, I am not speaking about freedoms simply, because rights and freedoms are not the same thing. You can have freedom because you have power and opportunity, right? The combination of power and opportunity gives you the wherewithal to accomplish what you decide to accomplish. But if you take that decision and choose to use your power and opportunity to do wrong, that use of freedom is not right, and therefore you can't use freedom as if it is a word synonymous with right. Right means doing what is right, according to God. It's quite clear in the Declaration that that's its meaning, and it's the meaning that it has. And so that means that there is no right to kill children in the womb any more than there's a right for somebody to walk into my house and kill me, or you, or anybody else. It's murder. And if it's murder, and we say, well, it's murder, but the mother, who, by the way, represents the responsibility that has been determined by God for the life of that child. Every child in the womb, regardless of the circumstances whereby that life has come into existence, is then a responsibility of the woman who carries the child. And we're looking at it like, and if you want to kill that child, go right ahead. So we're saying that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, life being the first, it no longer occupies the first position once you take that position, that the most helpless, clearly innocent form of human life can be slaughtered on the whim of the parent. It doesn't make sense to me. We are actually killing conscience when we do that. And it's no wonder then that we lose perspective on just what is exactly the meaning of right, which is obligation to God to do right, not opportunity to do what we please. Am I making sense?
Oh, that is so well stated. And I would love to hear that said many times a day. It's so true. It really is. And, you know, we have to look just beyond politics here. We have to look at the fact that the Antichrist spirit that is behind this global cabal's push to sweep America into a one world government, that Antichrist spirit is anti-God, he's anti-human, and he's anti-holiness. Those are the three scriptural traits of the Antichrist spirit. Now, I do have a prayer that deals with that. I took a year researching it. It is fully footnoted with everything that we are fighting. America, because of our foundation as a Christian nation, America is the last nation standing in the way of an Antichrist one world government. If we don't get a hold of what you just outlined, Alan, if we don't understand that the God who created us also blessed this nation because we dedicated it to him. And because we created founding documents modeled after the word of God and after God's character, we will be a nation gone under if we don't get back to the origins of our faith and of our nation.
Well, see, I think that the most explicit invitation to do ourselves in that way is now represented at the highest levels of our nation's present government. And people need to wake up to this and realize that we are being invited as a people to kill ourselves.
Exactly. Genocide, abortion.
Genocide. Yeah. And I think that, abortion is the figure of that attack on life.
Absolutely.
But it has become also an attack on all our lives.
Yes.
So that more and more they're pushing for results that will consolidate power in the hands of those who are heedless of right according to God, mm-hmm. and who will exercise right according to power, working out the whims of their own preferences in place of what is God's goodwill toward us as human beings when we walk in his way and when we are conforming to what are, I think, quite obvious premises that define our country. Mm-hmm. So in turning our back on those godly premises, yeah. we are Absolutely. Actually turning our back on what is the true vocation of our country, and it's not going to survive that turn. Yes. We must turn back to God.
The
question then becomes, what do you think is the most effective way to do that? Because you've been out there, I think, working at that and also having good effect. So what do you think are some of the things that you would advise people to focus on if they want to be effective?
Well, first of all, you need to know the word of God. And secondly, you need to understand, once you know the word and you're in covenant with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, meaning you have accepted him and the fact that he gave his life for you as a substitute so that we would have eternal life, mm-hmm. then that gives, it opens our eyes of understanding to the word of God. So it makes sense to us. Then it also gives us an understanding of what our founding fathers wrote in all of our documents, from the first landing, 1607, land dedication covenant, to the Mayflower Compact, the Declaration of Independence, all 50 state constitutions, the U.S. Constitution, all based in covenantal theology. And then I would say, then you can pray. My book offers ways to pray. The Lord did give me a prayer strategy of recovenanting, which means agreeing with our founding fathers. And see, those civil covenants, just like Israel's, are stored in heaven. So when we pray, it ushers in a force of covenant in history to save America. It also repatriates our hearts towards our nation so that we will fight and stand for the type of rights and freedoms that you're talking about, Alan. And then, you know, I do have another prayer strategy to fight the Antichrist spirit, which works on developing your authority so that you know how to hit the bullseye in prayer with the Antichrist, anti-God, anti-human, and anti-holiness components that are all encompassed with the World Economic Forums and the WHO, World Health Organization's plan for the Great Reset. Okay, so if you don't know about that, it's all explained in my book. I did a long introduction so that we understand what we're fighting here with our government is an Antichrist plot to destroy our Constitution. The tools were communism and socialism.
And I think that, to put not too fine a point on it, this pandemic that we just went through, the whole business with COVID and so forth and so on, I'm sorry. I look at it and I see that one of the countries, the country that now probably represents the most committed wills to overturn and destroy the United States, grounded in the premises that we're talking about, right? And that's Communist China.
Right, right.
And lo and behold, they are the resource used by the forces of evil. To put us in a bind that then cost us hundreds of thousands of lives, but also, I think, cost us in terms of our retreat from common sense. Because sometimes really tough situations will lead you to be blind to what would otherwise be obvious to your God-respecting mind and conscience and intellect. And I think that's where we are.
It's
the combination, I think, of fear and dependency.
Yes.
Fear in that sense that
Absolutely.
You're depending on others in a way that can't be avoided and you're going to do what you're told. It bothers me.
We trade fear for safety, like with the pandemic, and we give up our freedoms. And that's what's happened. And you said, what can we do? We can push back. When we wake up, mamas and dads out there, you can go to your kids' school. You can go to school board meetings. You can file lawsuits if you need to. Do FOIA requests. Do whatever it takes to make sure that you don't give your child to the state, because that's what's happening.
Well, it's what's happening, and I think it's happening willfully because they know. What can be more demoralizing? And we all experience it, I think, at some point in our parenting. You have a challenge that you know is beyond you.
Yes.
You pray to God for his help as you meet that challenge. For whatever reasons and you're stumbling about, behave in ways that then give rise to those deep anxieties and mistakes that parents can make in respect of the rearing of their children. I think we are being invited into the mentality that that then creates, which starts out with a kind of helplessness to you until, I believe, you remember that your help is in God.
Amen.
And then you turn to God and prayerfully, humbly confessing your mistake before him, you ask him, and one of those mistakes, by the way, is often forgetting that he's the one you should have turned to in the first place, rather than relying on your own understanding, right? So you put that all together. I think that's the Christian premise, and it's the source of guided Christian courage, guided by God and guided by our dependency on God. Yeah. I think the only way we're going to confront this crisis as a nation is if the folks who in some ways are de facto God's chosen leadership for America remember what I was just talking about, go to him for that forgiveness and seek through prayer and fasting and an acknowledgement of that the only will that matters is his goodwill, so that we'll implement it. Because I think we've become timid. There are so many things out there now purporting to be, oh, it's just university professors, it's just the doctors, and so forth. You just want to bow and do what you're told. Well, no. We should bow, we should kneel, we should rely on nobody but God. Mm-hmm. And if the voice is clear, and if the scripture is clear in terms of confirming our hearts in the way that he wants us to go, that's when I think we have to just stand up, take the bit in our teeth, and no matter what the consequences, show the courage that God makes it possible for us to show. And that is, I think, what has happened throughout the history of Christianity, which has produced, yes, martyrs, but it has also produced those steadfast examples of people who to this day will rouse and encourage Christian folks to stand for righteousness according to God whenever it is truly challenged.
Yeah, absolutely. When he empowers us, we will stand for truth no matter what. You know, people watching, you could be going through anything. It could be personal. It could be a travesty, a tragedy in your life. But God is always the answer. And being in a country where we were founded upon him, despite what you've been told to the contrary, is also empowering. We can't lose that.
Well, I think we're not losing it ourselves so much as it's now being systematically plundered, right? They're trying to take it away, and all of the things that actually really constitute our strength, I think they're trying to destroy. In line, by the way, with that book Unrestricted Warfare, which was written by two folks who were part of the Chinese military and are now high in its echelons, where they were steadfastly thinking through how do you attack America. And the interesting thing is that it was not a book about military attacks. Mm-hmm. It was a book about attacking the spirit and conscience and will of this country in exactly the fashion that we have been talking about. And so that we get all confused about who we are and timid about standing up for what has made us a good nation in spite of our faults and flaws and mistakes, and what will still, I think, provide us with a clear path of goodness that we can walk if we are willing to turn to God in prayer. We only have about a minute and a half left, and I wonder if you'd do me a favor.
Yes, sir.
Because you are a wonderful voice of prayer. Would you take about a minute or so to say a little prayer for the plight that this country faces and for the better understanding of myself and everybody who is perhaps listening to this show?
Absolutely. I'm going to do the prayer to preserve our Constitution on page 178 of my book, if that's all right.
Yes, indeed.
Father, in Isaiah 33:22, your word states, for the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. You will save us. To keep us safe from tyranny and anarchy, we thank you that our founding fathers created a tripartite nature of power, modeled after you, Lord, as judge, our judicial branch, as lawgiver, our legislative branch, and king, our executive branch. We pray for these three branches of power and that you would raise up godly men and women of faith to serve in Congress, Article 1 legislative power, to serve as president and vice president and Supreme Court justices for generations to come. We pray, Father God, that these men and women would be constitutionalists, Father, who embrace the founding fathers' original intent to preserve religious liberty and to limit government. In Jesus' mighty and holy name, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for that prayer. That the Lord speaks. I pray to the Lord that we will listen. Thank you, Danica. That's it for today.